All right, good evening, everybody. Everybody ready? Just let me turn on all these machines. All right, welcome back, sports fans. So we started last week a series of lectures entitled Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, of course, my brilliant idea, and I stole it from the Machzor, from our tefillahs on the Yom Noraim. But as we learned last week, based on the Marsha believes that the tefillah is actually taken from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. You remember this Gemara? It's where we started last week. It's where we'll start again this week. Last week we spoke about teshuvah. This week we'll speak about tefillah. But if you remember from last week when we learned this Gemara, it's not exactly what the Gemara says. And I think that that's very important and very telling. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak taught us, Dalid Dvarim Mekarin Gzardino Shaladam. You remember? There are four things that tear up the evil decree against the person. Eluhain, and these are they. Tzedakah, next week, by the way. Tzedakah. Come back next week. See, I went in order of the tefillah, not in order of the Gemara. Tzedakah would have been first had we done that, but next week we'll learn about tzedakah. Let's hope my plane doesn't get delayed. So that's the first is tzedakah. The second is tsa'aka. What does tsa'aka mean? Tefillah, crying, right? So we'll learn what does tsa'aka mean. But the second is tsa'aka. The third is shinoy hashem. That one got crossed out of our tefillah, right? Out of our machzor. That one's not in our machzor. And the fourth is shinoy ma'aseh. And that's what we spoke about last week, teshuvah. The Gemara suggests that there's a fifth, the Yesh Omrim, that there's a fifth, shinoy makom. So shinoy Hashem and shinoy makom got left out. I refer you, like I did last week, to the Maharal in Nisiv HaTshuvah, Perakei, if you want to learn what Maharal suggests and why these two got left off. Or you can look in Maharsha. Maharsha here in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tezayin. And Marsha gives you a reason about why he thinks that those two got left out. But tonight we're going to talk about Tsa'aka. Tsa'aka, or as we have in our Machzor, Tefillah. Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. Tonight we'll talk about Tefillah as being Mekarin, Gzardino, Shalom, like the Gemara says, or like we say in our Tefillah, Ma'avirin, Esroa, Hagizeo. But the Gemara doesn't say Tefillah. It doesn't. The Gemara says Tsa'aka. Right? So what we have to understand is, what is the specific type of tefillah as referenced by the terminology tsa'aka? We've done this before in the past. No, we just did this on Wednesday in the ladies' class for anybody who was here. There are a number of different words in Hebrew that have similar meanings but are not exactly the same. And we'll use different words, even though I could have used other words, for specific purposes. I'll give you an example. The one that we just learned in the ladies' class this past week. The Torah has a different number of terminologies for speech. What are some of them? Davar, Amar, very good, perfect, right? So we learned this past week in the ladies' class that Rabbi Hirsch suggests that the root word davar, everybody with me? The root word davar means to speak. Rabbi Hirsch believes it means to gather via speech, to gather people via the medium of speech. It doesn't just mean to talk. It means to gather people via speech. That's where Rabbi Hirsch suggests that the Hebrew word for a bee is divorah. The animal, a bee, is a divorah. So Rabbi Hirsch suggests that the reason why it's called a divorah is because they swarm from the root word davar. They gather together. So dibar, to speak, is to gather via speech. It's different than the word amar. They both mean speak, but they have different connotations, using the word davar and using the word amar. And so we have a number of different words for tefillah. Anybody know what some of those words are? No? Well, first of all, tefillah is one word, right? Right. That's one word that we use for tefillah. The Gemara says that when, how do we know that Yitzchak Avinu davened mincha? Lasuach basada. How do we know that Yaakov Avinu davened mariv? Right? So we have a number of different terminologies in the Torah that all make reference to tefillah, and yet the Gemara here, Rabbi Yitzchak, singles out tsa'aka. Does anybody know what tsa'aka is? Good. I didn't either. And so I started on my journey that I will lead you on right now. Yeah, it means to cry, but what does that mean? Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. So I'll start you on the journey that that this took me on, and we'll learn it together. And so I started with some psukim in Sefer Shemos. This is the first thing that came to my head. Anybody know these psukim? Of course you know these psukim. Not only do we read them when we read Sefer Shemos, but they're a part of our Haggadah on the Leil HaSeder. And so the Torah tells us in Sefer Shemos, at the very, very end of Perek Beis of Sefer Shemos, the Torah says, Vayihi bayamim harabim haheim vayomos melech Mitzrayim. And it was in the long days, and Paro Melech Mitzrayim died. And when Paro died, ve'anchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda v'yizaku. The Jewish people, they stopped from their work, and v'yizaku. They called out to God. V'ta'al shabasam Elohim min ha'avoda. And their prayer ascended up to God, min ha'avoda, from their work. And so, the Torah says in the next pasuk, "Vayishma Elohim es naakasam." God heard their cries. Now we're going to do something right now that's known in math as the transitive property. Is everybody with me right here? The first pasuk, Shemos Perek Beis. Stay with me right now. I know math is hard sometimes, but this one is not difficult. Shemos Perek Beis pasuk Chav Gimel says that the Jewish people, what did they do? Vayizaku, right? They za'aka, they called out to God, that terminology. But what did God hear? Not their za'aka, he heard na'akasam. So A equals B. You all with me here? Vayizaku means na'akasam. The words must be the same. You understand why I say that? This is important. Because if this block... Yeah, right. If you pull out this block, though, everything I'm going to tell you tonight falls down. This is important. This is important. Right? So the Jewish people, they called out by Yizaku. God heard Na'akasam. It must be the same thing. Rashi writes, Na'akasam. Rashi translates, Tsa'akasam. Tsa'aka. So we now have three words that all mean the same thing via the transitive property. If A equals B and B equals C, I posit to you that A equals C. Yes? So if Vayizaku is Na'akasam, and Na'akasam is Tsa'akasam, then the tefillah of Vayizaku is the same tefillah as Tsa'aka. Yes? Now, that fancy mathematics that I just pulled with you, which is not so fancy, I didn't really need. Because if we would keep reading in the psukim, the Torah tells us a few psukim later, Vayomer Adonai, Ra'o Ra'isi Esani Ami Asher B'Mitzrayim. God is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu in those psukim that I skipped. God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and God is speaking to Moshe. And God says to Moshe, Ra'o Ra'isi Esani Ami Asher B'Mitzrayim, I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. Ve'es Tsa'akasam Shamati Mipnei Nogsav. And their sa'aka, I have heard, their cries, I have heard from those who are afflicting them. Ki yadati es ma'achovav. And I know their affliction, their pains, their ka'evim, their pains. So we have here a number of different terminologies of tefillah. The predominant one is tsa'aka. Rashi tells us that even the Vayizaku and the Na'akasam, they mean tsa'aka. God says a few psukim later that he heard their Sa'akasam, but the psukim are not contradictory, right? The first pasuk says God heard na'akasam. The second pasuk says God heard sa'akasam. So Rashi tells us, same thing. Na'akasam, sa'akasam. So we've learned one portion in the Torah. What is tsa'aka? What kind of tefillah is this? I think the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us, vata'al sha'avasam elu Elohim min ha'avoda. Their prayers, their tsa'aka, came up to God from the work that the Jewish people were doing. The second pasuk that we read, it tells us that God ve'es tzakasam shamati mipnei nogsav. I heard their tzaka from those who are beating them, from those who are afflicting them. If you ever want to know, by the way, this kind of analysis, what does this particular type of this word mean? A good place to look is Malbim. We're learning, you know, at Shalashudis, we're learning Tehillim right now with the Perish of the Malbim, and so we learn the difference between Yira and Pachad. You remember that? 2 weeks ago, Shalashudas, we learned that. Classic Malbim. Words that seem similar, but are really a little bit different, that Malbim loves that kind of thing. It's a good place to look. So I looked here at Malbim. And Malbim writes, if you want to know what Sa'aka means, Malbim says that Sa'aka is tefillah that arises from absolute despair. Sa'aka is tefillah that you issue when you are beaten down, when you have nothing left, and you call out to God, Mima'amakim kirasicha Adonai, from the depths, I call up to you, God. That is Sa'aka. Sa'aka is a tefillah that you issue when you are beaten down and you have nothing left. That is Sa'aka. And Malbim gives you a number of examples. If you want to go look them up, you can. I was thinking of reading them with you, but I'm deciding against it right now on the spot. You can look in Yirmiyah Perek Nonalef. You can look in Yechezkel Perek Lamed. You can look in Iyov. This terminology of Sa'aka is consistent throughout the Tanakh. Sa'aka always throughout Tanakh means the groans, the screams of someone who is down and beaten and has nowhere else to go. Not only physically, but I say beaten, I don't only mean physically. George, question? It's a paragraph in Tehillim. We say it often. There's a Rabbeinu Bachya that I wanted to share with you. This is incredible. This is what I'm actually going to read. I'm going to read it word for word because it's absolutely incredible what he writes. Rabbeinu Bachya, not Rabbeinu Bachya in Pekuda, not the author of the Chovas HaLevavos. I'm not reading you from that. I'm reading from Perush Rabbeinu Bachya al Torah, which is Rabbeinu Bachya ben Osher, also a Spanish Rishon, but he lived, I think, 200 years later. They both lived in the same town in Spain, in fact, I think. Saragossa, I think. Final answer. But they lived in the same town, but around 200 years apart. I wonder if the second one was named after the first one. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Rabbeinu Bachya writes, this is just such a fantastic maramakum. You should file this one away and you should keep it. On these psukim in Shemos, the Torah tells us that their tefillah arises up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Bachya writes, Vatal shavasam Elohim mino avoda. Their cries, their tzaaka, goes up to God from the work. Ki afal pi shehigia haketz. Even though the time had come, it was over. They were supposed to go out. Lo hayu reuyim legeula ela meirov shetzaku el adunoi min haavoda ki bel tefilasam. Isn't that incredible? The time had come, but God would not have let them out. Unless and except for the fact that they cried out to God from the work that they were doing, and God heard their tefillos. The time would have come and it would have gone, and God would not have let them out. Except they cried out to God, Shetzaku el Hashem min ha'avoda. They cried out to God from the work that they were doing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibel tefilasam. He accepted their tefillos. And then he says more. V'hiskir shnei pa'amim min ha'avoda. The pasuk here says twice that the Jewish people called out from the work, min ha'avoda, from the slavery and the servitude. V'ye'onchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. That the b'nei Yisrael, they stopped from the work. V'ta'al shavasam el Elohim min ha'avoda. And their tefillahs ascended up to God from the work. And now listen to this. Heed the words of Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher. Lilamedcha, to teach us, She'ein tefiloso shel odom shelema ke'oso shehu mispalel mitoch hatzara v'hadocha. Wow. The tefillah of a person is never as complete as somebody who davens out of a sense of sorrow and a sense of, how do you translate, docha? Being pressed and pushed. Shehi yoser mikubeles v'hi ha'ole lefano av yisparach. That tefillah is more received and ascends quicker, faster, straighter, I don't know, up to God. And then Rabbeinu Bachya brings a number of different sources where you find the very same idea. Rabbeinu Bachya writes, if Tiach HaNavi, the Nevi'im, promised us, he's talking about Yonah in specific, Sha'atfila shehi mitoch ha-tsa'ar, the tefillah that comes out of a sense of sorrow, hi ha-nichneses lefanav el heichal kodesho yisbarach. That is the tefillah that ascends up into and in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a fantastic statement. It means we've learned two things so far about the tefillah of tsa'aka. We've learned about the tefillah of tsa'aka, like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, that the tefillah of tsa'aka is mikarin gizardino shel adam. It rips up the evil decree against the person, and we've learned something else about the tefillah of tsa'aka. We've learned that the tefillah of tsa'aka is the most complete tefillah a person could issue. The tefillah of tsa'aka is the tefillah that goes straight into and straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need to understand why that is true. Why is it that the tefillah mitoch tsara v'docha, why is that tefillah better than other types of tefillahs? I could take the opposite extreme if I so wanted. I could play devil's advocate with Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, and I could suggest, is that really true? Really? We know David HaMelech gets praise because David HaMelech writes in Tehillim that not only Tzara v'yagon emtsa uv'shem Hashem ekra, not only does David HaMelech call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he finds Tzara and Yago, when he finds pain and agony, he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But David HaMelech calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well when Kos Yeshua sesa uv'shem Adonai ekra. I raise up a cup of salvation and I praise out to God. When is it easier to remember God? We know this by ourselves. This is not big chidushin. When is it easier to remember God? Is it easier to remember God and daven when you're not doing well? When you're down in the dumps? When you're beaten and you have nowhere else to turn? Or is it easier to remember God when you're sitting on the top of the world? When you're soaring and flying high? You tell me. When is it easier to remember God? I think we would all agree. It's much easier to remember God in times of pain and trouble than it is to remember God in times of tremendous joy and celebration. Is everybody with me there? Can we agree?
So, no atheist in a foxhole.
Exactly right. That's right. There is no atheist in a foxhole. That's what they say. That's right. Right. So why is it? Why is it that the tefillah of tsa'aka is the best tefillah? I could have suggested to you that the tefillah of tzaka should be an inferior type of tefillah. Because it's easier to daven when you have tzaka. When you're in that despair and nowhere else to go and no one else to help you. Why is it that the tefillah of tzaka is the best type of tefillah? And why is it specifically that the tefillah of tzaka is mekarin gizardino shaladam? So I invite you on a journey. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very fancy Torah. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, about the chiyuv and obligation of tefillah. This is what you were thinking, Sandy? Good.
Not just that, but you have the right to approach
Hashem. Oh. So there's a machlokas between Rambam and Ramban about the nature of the obligation of tefillah. The obligation of tefillah. Let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam is in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvahs Aseh Hey, the fifth mitzvah, very early in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Rambam writes, let me get it for you. The Rambam writes that the fifth mitzvah, B'HaMitzvah HaChamisha, is the fifth mitzvah, Hi Shetzivanu La'ovdo Yisale, that we are commanded La'ovdo, to serve God. To serve God. What does that mean, to serve God? See, so the Rambam has a problem. The Rambam has a problem. The Rambam, you see, there was a big fight. I'll give you a little background information. There's a big fight how to count the mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us that Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha, Kehilas Yaakov, that there were 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. 613 mitzvahs midaraisa. The Gemara told us that, Chazal says. So we had a tradition that tells us there are 613 mitzvahs. The problem is, when you start flipping the pages in the Chumash, and you start trying to count the 613, you'll find many more commands than 613. And so the Rishonim had a big fight which are the 613 that the Gemara was talking about. And the Rishonim set up different rules by which they decided which mitzvos count in the 613 and which are not part of the 613. And the Rambam gives us what he calls the Shorashim, the methodology that the Rambam uses in determining which mitzvos he counts. The Rambam gives us 14 Shorashim, 14 different principles by which he decides which mitzvahs go into the 613 and which get left out. And one of the Rambam's Shorashim, one of the Rambam's principles, it's the fourth principle, is that any mitzvah hakoleles, any mitzvah that is broad, that covers the whole Torah, for example, if the Torah tells us keep all of the mitzvos, right? The Torah says, where is it? The Torah says that in a bunch of different places. The Torah will say something to the extent of, I'll give you a quote. I don't have to make it off the top of my head. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Ubechol asher amarti aleichem, tishmoru." Everything that I tell you to do, keep it. The Rambam says doesn't count because it's not a specific mitzvah. It's the whole Torah. The Torah commands you keep the whole Torah. That doesn't count. I count each specific action, but not generalities. Everybody with me with the principle? So the Rambam here in the fifth mitzvah, the Rambam counts the command la'ovdo, to serve God. And then the Rambam asks on himself. The Rambam says, well, hang on a second. How could I count to serve God? It's a generality. It means keep the whole Torah. Serve God. Keep the whole Torah. So the Rambam answers. Va'afa pi shezeh hatzivui hu gam kein min hatzivuyim hakolalim. Even though this is a general command, it subsumes the whole Torah, la'ovdo, to serve God. It subsumes the whole Torah, yesh bo yichud. It has a specific command as well, shehu tziva batefila, that God commanded us to daven, to do tefila. So the Rambam believes there's this general command, this general principle, la'ovdo, to serve God, and a particular method of la'ovdo is via tefillah. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that there's different parts of different mitzvahs. This is Rabbi Soloveitchik's terminology now. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that there's what he called a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, the action of a mitzvah, and what he called a kiyum ha-mitzvah, the fulfillment, the experience of the mitzvah. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said sometimes you have mitzvahs that are one without the other. I'll give you some examples. Everybody ready? There's a mitzvah the Rambam counts of emunah, faith. We have to have faith in God. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. There's an experience of that mitzvah. You have to believe that God created the world, that God's involved in the world. It's a belief, but what's the action? What's the action? Belief is the mitzvah. What's the action? What's the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah? What's the action that you have to do? There is none. You could have a kiyum ha-mitzvah, an experience of the mitzvah, a fulfillment of the mitzvah, without a formal ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. Everybody with me? Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that the reverse is also true. You could have a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah without necessarily a required experience of the mitzvah. For example, we'll in a few weeks, we'll have a mitzvah on Sukkis of taking the Arba Minim, picking up a lulav and esrog, hadasim and arabos. How do you perform such a mitzvah? You pick it up. You hold it. Now, as soon as you pick it up, you fulfill the mitzvah. There is no required experience and feeling and emotion. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have it. It means it's not required. There is no required experience, feeling, and emotion in order to fulfill that mitzvah. You see how these two mitzvahs are on opposite extremes? Emunah requires a feeling, an emotion, an experience. With its lacking, a legal formal action. Taking the Arba Minim requires a legal formal action, but does not require any emotion or experience. Is everybody with me? And then Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that you have some mitzvahs in the middle. You have some mitzvahs in the middle where the Torah requires and wants an emotional experience and mandates that in order to get there, you follow certain actions. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives a number of examples. One of them he gives is avelus. What is the mitzvah of avelus? So it could be that avelus is midaraisa, it could be that avelus is midarabano, it could be that part of avelus is midaraisa and part of avelus is midarabano. I don't want to get into it right now. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests that avelus is an experience. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. Somebody who goes through avelus is supposed to feel a sense of loss, approaching the end and nearing the abyss. Somebody who goes through avelus is supposed to have those feelings and emotions. But to get there, the Torah mandates certain actions. There is a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. A person tears kriya. A person sits on the floor. A person doesn't leave their home. A person doesn't learn Torah. There are different actions that the Torah requires. You understand? There is a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah which is intended to elicit a certain kiyum ha-mitzvah, a certain emotion and sense and feeling, and they're both required. If somebody would go through the legal formal actions of avelus, they would tear kriya and sit on the floor and not leave the home and not learn Torah and everything else that Nobel does, but they wouldn't feel any sense of loss, there is something lacking in that avelus. Similarly, somebody who feels a tremendous sense of loss but doesn't follow any of the legal formal actions of avelus, there's something lacking in the performance of that avelus. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that tefillah is the very same way. The Torah commands us le'ovdo, to serve God. That's what the Rambam says. It's an overarching principle. Le'ovdo, it's an experience. Le'ovdo. But there is a specific action which the Torah mandates. And that action is tefillah. Now, in order to understand this, we need to understand what is the experience of La'ovdo, and how is it that the action of tefillah is intended to bring me to it? Is everybody with me? Yeah? Okay, good. So if La'ovdo is this overarching experience, what is it? And so the Rambam tells us. The Rambam tells us in the Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Gimel, in volume 3, in chapter Nun Aleph, 51, the Rambam writes that Avodah Shebolev, the Rambam writes that Avodah Shebolev is thinking about God. The Rambam believes that Avodah Shebolev is being cognizant of God, is being aware of God, which is why it should not surprise us that in the Rambam's fifth mitzvah, the one where the Rambam tells us the mitzvah is to daven, le'ovdo, and that is to daven, the Rambam also writes, oh, there it is. Minayim le'ikur tefillah b'soch ha-mitzvos. How do we know that tefillah is really one of the mitzvos? Me'hacha, because the pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha tira v'oso tavod. You have to fear God and you have to serve Him. Va'amru, and the Medrash tells us, Avduhu b'toraso. Avduhu b'mikdasho. Kelomar l'leches sham l'hispalel. I have to serve God with His Torah. I serve God with His mikdash. The Rambam says mikdash means tefillah. So not only does the Rambam count as part of avoda tefillah, he also counts Torah. Did you catch that? Did everybody see that? It's not surprising. Because tefillah is just a part of the general experience of le'ovdo, to serve God. And the Rambam believes that the Ovdo means to be cognizant of God. And there are different ways that you're cognizant of God. You're cognizant of God in your learning. You're cognizant of God in your tefillah. You have to be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. That is the mitzvah of La'ovdo. The legal formal action that's required of us to get there is tefillah. The action of tefillah is intended to get us to come and be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what tefillah is all about, according to the Rambam. Davening is about being cognizant and aware of God. That's what the Rambam says. A mitzvah every single day to daven. And the Ramban argues. The Ramban believes, it's right here on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban argues. The Ramban believes that tefillah is not a mitzvah. Can I say that out loud? It's okay? Yeah? Tefillah is not a mitzvah. The Ramban believes that it doesn't count. It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. He doesn't say we shouldn't do it. He doesn't say that it's not effective. He says it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban believes that to daven is only midrabbanan. Only midrabbanan. It's not midaraisa. And then the Ramban says, this is such a fascinating thing, the Ramban says, you want to know what the concept of tefillah is? The Ramban explains, Elavadai, this is very strong. It is for sure, the Ramban, it is for sure, the Ramban says, Ki kol inyun ha-tfila, the whole concept of tfila, Eina chova klal, it's not a requirement at all. Aval, Hu mimidos chesed habore yisborach aleinu, it is a kindness that God provides to us. Sheshomeya va'one b'chol kareinu elav, that He listens and He answers whenever we call to Him. God provides for us a kindness. It doesn't require of us that we take advantage of it. You understand? That's what the Ramban believes. God provides for us a kindness. If we want to call out, He'll listen. He'll answer. But He doesn't mandate that we take advantage of that kindness. The Ramban believes that tefillah is not a mitzvah seseh. But then the Ramban starts to backtrack. And the Ramban says, but maybe, there's one type of tefillah that really is commanded. You ready for this? There's one type of tefillah that might really be commanded. The Ramban says, maybe, Lomar, the Torah is telling us, Shemichlala avoda shenilmod Torah, vishenispalo elav, be'eis hatzaros. Maybe. If there's one type of tefillah that's mandated, it's that we dive into God and learn Torah. He says both. Be'eis hatzaros. When things get bad and difficult. And in those times, v'tihiyena inenu v'libenu elav livado, we only in times of trouble turn to God. Ki enei avodim el yad Adonayem. Like servants would turn to their master in times of need when they require assistance. The Ramban believes perhaps, maybe, there's tefillah in a time of tzara. When you're down and you're beaten, the Ramban says, maybe, there's a command to daven. And then the Ramban says, where is this? This is the best part. I don't see it. Where did it go? It was right here this afternoon. Oh, here it is. Okay. Oh, that was a scary second right there. And then the Ramban says, Shehi mitzvah le'eis hatzaros. The Ramban now at the very end, this is the end of his analysis. There is a mitzvah in the time of trouble. Mitzvah be'eis hatzaros. A mitzvah in the time of trouble. Shena'amin. That we believe. Shehu yisparach v'yisale shomeya tefila, v'hu matzil min hatzaros b'tefila v'za'aka. I'm so happy that he used that word. You know why? Because that's the type of tefila he's talking about. The Ramban says, you know what the mitzvah is? The mitzvah is not to daven. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to believe that tefila is effective. To believe that in times of sorrow, when you call out to God with za'aka, that God hears and that God answers. A machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam with regards to the nature of the command of tefillah. Rambam believes that tefillah is about being cognizant of God, a command every single day to daven, and Ramban believes that tefillah is a belief that Hashem saves in an eis tzara, that Hashem listens and Hashem answers when we send up to Him tzaaka. Tefillahs mi ma'amakim, tefillahs from the depths. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested a very novel approach and a brilliant thought that perhaps the Rambam and Ramban do not argue about the nature of tefillah. They do not argue about the makeup of the command to daven. Perhaps Rambam and Ramban argue about the nature of a tzara, the nature of a distress. You see, Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that Ramban says we only have to daven be'eis tzara. What's an eis tzara in the Ramban's makeup? An eis tzara for the Ramban is some sort of natural disaster that just comes and strikes suddenly. An eis tzara for the Ramban is somebody loses their job and they have no income and they have a mortgage to pay and a family to feed. And that's an eis tzara. According to the Ramban, Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, what's an eis tzara according to Rambam? You see, they agree that tefillah is to call out to God be'es tzara, but the Rambam fundamentally believed that the human condition is such that we are always be'es tzara. What could happen tomorrow, 100 things we could list that would send us immediately into an es tzara. What could happen tomorrow that would automatically send every human being in our area into an es tzara? We can write lists of the things that could take place like that, that would put us all in utter despair. So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested that what Rambam believes is the same as Rambam. You have to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'es tzara. But Rambam believed that we are always be'es tzara. We are always utterly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you want to know why real tefillah is tefillah be'es tzara? You want to know where Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher writes that the most complete and whole tefillah is a tefillah that comes min hatzar u'min hadochak? Rabbi Soloveitchik does not say this, but I believe, based on his analysis, that we could suggest that the reason why the most complete tefillah is the tefillah min ha'es tzara is because every tefillah should be min ha'es tzara. When I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are good, and when things are fine, and when I'm flying high and I'm soaring above, I need to feel that I'm only high and above because God has lifted me up there. I need to feel and know that on my own standing, I would be be'es tzara right now. I have to feel with every tefillah that I say that tefillah is be'es tzara. That I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimam akim not only when I feel that I'm mimam akim. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimamakim, even when I'm on the highest mountain. Even when I'm soaring and flying high, my tefillah needs to be a tefillah of tzaaka. A tefillah of utter independence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I depend on you entirely. I have nothing else to rely upon, except upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Real, true tefillah is always the tefillah of tzaaka. It's always the tefillah out of the depths. One second. Now that works good and fine for the analysis of Rambam, who believes that every day is es tzara. What about Ramban? Ramban does not believe that every day is es tzara. Ramban does not believe that every person is always in es tzara. So I want to suggest to you something a little bit interesting. A little bit interesting. Bear with me here. Lee, you want to ask a question while I open this book? Go ahead. Oh, forget it then. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Go, go, go.
But I was thinking that, I feel like with most people, when a sorrow happens, you're going to have a great sorrow. Usually, sometimes they can away from God.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly happens. Tragedy sometimes does turn people away as opposed to bring people back. The Torah tells us a number of different places, though the opposite is also true. The Torah says in the Tokacha, Vayishmani Yishurun Vayivat, the Jewish people will get fat and they'll have plenty and then they'll kick off God. I guess maybe you're right. Maybe my whole premise is wrong. I understand what you're saying. You're saying, Rabbi, this is very nice what you're suggesting, but it's not right. Of course Tzaka is the better tefillah. No, I hear what you're saying. I'm not making fun. I'm with you. I'm with you. It could be that they did. It was not my mode of thinking. But it could be that you find it. I'm with you. I hear you. Your suggestion is noted and on the record, right? So I want to suggest to you something a little bit different. There is a smack. Sefer Mitzvah HaKaton. Sefer Mitzvah HaKaton is called such because it's shorter than the Sefer Mitzvah HaGadol. Sefer Mitzvah HaGadol was authored by Rav Moshe of Kusi. Sefer Mitzvah HaKaton was authored by a Talmud of the Rabbi Yechiel of Paris. Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, the Rebbe of the Rosh. So the Smak was a Talmud, probably a Chover of the Rosh, and he wrote a Sefer Mitzvah, a book of mitzvahs. And the Smak, in his mitzvah of tefillah, writes something very similar to the Ramban. The Smak writes, even though really tefillah is midrabanan, sounds like the Ramban, right? Mikom makom yesh tefillah shehi min haTorah. There is a tefillah that's midaraisa,
תכסיב וביקשתם משם את השם אלוקך ומוצאסו כי סדרשנו בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך. When things are bad and everything goes down and you're sitting in the depths and you call out to God, He will hear you and He will answer you. The Smack says like the Ramban, Tefillah is midrabanan, with the exception of a tefillah that is be'es sorah. And then the Smack writes, Ucheshayis parel, and when I daven, im yivakish dabar, if I ask God for something, pay attention now, by the way, this is such a great Smack, al yitzape lomar machmas tefilasi yobili HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'elasi. This is a very important Smack, a very important Smack. Do not think to yourself that because I asked something of God, God will provide it for me. Do not think to yourself that because I asked something from God, that God will provide it for me. Ella, rather, Yachshov, I should think, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yavienu Bechasto. God may provide it for me, not because I asked for it. God may provide for me out of God's abundant kindness. Uma she'ani mivakesh mimenu. And the reason why I ask it of God, you ready? Kidei lahazkir el libi kama ani mishubad labore. I ask things of God to remind myself how much I am utterly dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He does not provide for me because I ask of it. You know, this is like the Mabit's question, right? The Mabit asks, how does tefillah work? Mabit, how does tefillah work? I say to God, God, please give me $1 million. And God says, no. And so I daven. And what do I say? I say, pretty please? And God says, oh, Feigenbaum, you're so cute. Okay, here you go. That's how it works. That's how tefillah with God works. It's like my little girls begging for a snack. Daddy, I want a coffee. No. Daddy, please. Okay, fine. You're 2 years old, right? I'm saying that's how it works with God. The Mabit asks, I don't understand. So the Smack provides an answer to the question of the Mabit. The Smack says, God provides for us out of His abundant kindness, not because we ask. Well, if God doesn't provide because I ask, then why am I asking? What am I wasting my time for? If that's not why God gives it to me, so then what are we wasting time? Why do we ask? The Smack says, you want to know why you ask? You ask because you need to remind yourself that you're dependent on it from God. You ask to remind yourself that if God won't give it to you, you won't get it by yourself. You know, I remember when I was teaching at NCSY Summer Kollel, so I had a chabura of six guys. And one day I asked Rabbi Meir Twersky, who was there, to come speak to my chabura. We were learning about tefillah, about davening. And I asked him if he could come talk to the guys about davening and tefillah. And I remember Rabbi Twersky in the middle of our chabura session walking over to the chabura and sitting down with us. It was me, six high school kids, and Rabbi Meir Twersky. It was an incredible experience. Rabbi Twersky sat down, he started talking to the kids about tefillah. And he said to the kids, when you ask something of God, what does that implicitly say? When I ask God to give me something, implicitly, what am I saying? He said, I'm saying two things. I'm saying, one, God, it's in your ability to give it to me. That's why I ask of it from you. But two, I'm saying, I cannot get it by myself. Otherwise, I would not be asking of it from you. He said, when we start Bakashas in Shimon Esra, what's the first Bakasha in Shimon Esra? What's the first one? You know the first request? Das. You know how that paragraph in Shimon Esrei starts? Atochonein la'adam das. Umelameid le'anosh bina. Before I ask God for knowledge and wisdom, I first make a proclamation. A statement. Knowledge and wisdom, God, it comes only from you, not from me and not from anybody else. Atochonein la'adam das. Umelameid le'anosh bina. And therefore I ask. Chaneinu me'etcha. Day of Vina of Haskell. Give us, please, knowledge and wisdom. Rabbi Twersky suggested that such a statement should really be the beginning of every paragraph of Shimon Esrei. I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Salach lanu avinu ki chatanu. There's a sentence that's implied. It's in brackets. It's not there. We don't say it as a part of our everyday bracha, but it should be there. The sentence should say, ki atosol chan li Yisrael, mechol l'shifte Yisrael, mechol dor v'ador. Because you provide forgiveness
for Knesset Yisrael, therefore now we ask, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, mechal lanu malkeinu, ki fashanu. Every single bracha on the Shemona Esrei, before I make a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Smak suggests, Rabbi Tversky told us, he didn't quote this Smak, but it's what he told us. The Smak says, you want to know why we ask? We ask to remind ourselves how utterly dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what tefillah is all about? I think in this analysis, according to the Ramban and according to the Smak, tefillah is about recognizing our total and utter dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you know what sa'aka is? Sa'aka is a cry when you have nothing. Sa'aka is a cry when you look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, Hashem, I have nothing if not for you. According to the Ramban, every tefillah is be'es tzara. Because the essence of tefillah is tzaka. The essence of tefillah is utter dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps now, I think, we're in a place to understand why it is that tzaka is ma'avirin es roa ha'gizera. We've understood already, I think, why Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher suggests that tzaka is the best type of tefillah. We've understood already. According to the Rambam, tzaka is the best type of tefillah because every tefillah is a tzaka. Even somebody who's flying high needs to feel that they're be'es tzara. According to Ramban, tzaka is the best type of tefillah because the essence of tefillah is that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of tefillah is that we have nothing without God. That's the only reason why we daven, to remind ourselves that we get it from God. And so the best tefillah is the tefillah of tzaka. I believe that we understand. But I think now we're in a position to understand why it is that the tefillah of tzaka specifically is ma'avirin es roa ha'gezeira, or as like the Gemara says, mikarin lo gzardino shaladam, tears up the evil decree. I think maybe, take this as my suggestion. When a person sins, when a person does an Avera, a person forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person sins for a number of different reasons. Mishnah Navos tells us, Hakina, Hataiva, Vahakavod, Motziin es Adam min Olam. Jealousy and desire and honor, they cause a person to do absolutely crazy things. A person thinks for a moment that he's something. A person thinks for a moment that he doesn't need, or he forgets that he needs and utterly depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that moment when he forgets that he utterly depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in that moment when he thinks that he can provide for himself, he's capable of sin. And so perhaps, the tefillah of tzaka can undo the process of sin. You understand? When somebody issues a tefillah of tzaka, they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein lanu al mi lehishay. They say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing if it weren't for you. Somebody who issues an honest tefillah of tzaka is capable of undoing the underlying precept that enabled sin in the first place. Hashem sees that we change. Hashem sees in the tefillah of tzaka specifically that we now recognize and understand that we don't forget for a second that everything that we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even when we're flying high, we are in reality be'es tzara. A person who issues that kind of tefillah, he fixes the underlying precepts that may have led to sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that, he recognized that we've fixed the problem, and ma'avirin es roa ha'gezeira, mikarin lo, gizardino shel adam. Does that work for you? Does that work for you? Why it is specifically that the tefillah of tzaka has the ability to undo the punishment. Because it undoes the things that brought us to sin. It brings us back to where we should have been in the first place. Tzaka specifically, the Gemara tells us, is the method of mekarin lo gizardino shel adam, to recognize that we're always be'es tzara according to Rambam, or to recognize according to Ramban and Smak that everything we have ultimately all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we prepare for the Yom Narayim, let us recognize our human frailty. Let us understand that Hashem is our true provider, and let us turn to Him b'tza'aka, with cries of absolute dependentness, mima'amakim kirasicha Adonai. And Chazal tell us that when Hashem sees that tza'aka, Hashem responds, salachti kidvarecha, Hashem responds, ma'avirin esroa ha'gezera, Hashem responds, like the Gemara says, mekarin lo gizardino shel adam, should be for all of us and all of Knesset Yisrael. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. Have a great night. I'll see you again next week.